This is a special podcast edition of the New Yorker Radio Hour. In 2016, David Remnick wrote in the New Yorker about Aretha Franklin's place in music and in American history. Franklin, who's 76 now, is reported to be in hospice care. And we wanted to share this celebration of her life and work, which we first aired 2 years ago.
You know, when I think about how music can express political sentiments and a much deeper sense of Americanness in our history, I'm put in mind of so many people, people like Woody Guthrie, Sam Cooke, a lot of the hip-hop performers of today even. And now that we're coming to the end of the Obama administration, I was thinking back on how it began. In January of 2009, a freezing day in Washington, the first African-American president about to be inaugurated, and Aretha Franklin, whose grandparents were sharecroppers in the Mississippi Delta, here she was, stepping forward to the microphone, in that unbelievable hat with the huge gray bow, My Country, 'Tis of Thee. It was unbelievably cold, if you remember, sub-zero temperatures, and her voice suffered from it. But it really hardly mattered. It was a historical moment more than a musical one. We connected that inauguration to a truer sense of American history in the moment. If the last time you really thought about Aretha Franklin was that performance at the inauguration, you might have been taken by surprise, as I was, when you heard her on a video that went absolutely viral a few months ago from the Kennedy Center. She was singing in honor of Carole King, who was receiving one of those Kennedy Center honors. She came out onto the stage wearing a full-length mink coat, an amazing, amazing look, put her pocketbook on the piano, sat down, and started banging out gospel chords and singing the opening lines of You Make Me Feel Like a Natural Woman in a way that I don't know how to describe it other than to say that President Obama was crying right away. Carole King was practically leaping over the railing, calling in the song with her arms, waving it on. And I was a puddle too. I think millions of people were, whether they were watching it live or on the internet. Carole King's song was in many ways a pop song. But in Aretha Franklin's mouth, of course, it had these elements of R&B, the blues, and of course, gospel. Aretha Franklin was born to the Baptist Church, and her father, C.L. Franklin, was one of the most charismatic and important preachers of his time.
Heaven and earth may pass away, but his word will always stand.
And his style of preaching was known as whooping, and it would begin with a kind of narrative of a biblical explanation, and by the time you got to the second half of it, it was pure ecstatic song.
And when trials ended, when I got on to the Jordan, I wanted wide right there.
That style influenced Aretha Franklin's singing, and so too did the fact that she lived in a house in which Art Tatum was playing the piano, and Duke Ellington would visit, and Mahalia Jackson would come and cook and then sing gospel in the evening, and B.B. King would come by. It was a crossroads of American music and spirituality and the black church. And Aretha Franklin, who was really a child of privilege as a minister's daughter, was absorbing all of it. And when she was just 14 years old, she was already going on the road singing gospel with her father and recording her first music. An amazing sound. Now, the great African-American historian and cultural analyst W.E.B. Du Bois writes in The Souls of Black Folk, which was published in 1903, that, quote, despite caricature and defilement, the music of the black church still remains the most original and beautiful expression of human life and longing yet born on American soil. Du Bois could never have known how that gospel music would cross over into soul, rock, pop, practically all of American music. But 110 years later, his point rings true. Here's Aretha in her early 70s on the stage of the Kennedy Center. She lets the mink coat drop from her shoulders in the most dramatic way possible. She spreads her arms wide to polish off this song, marrying Sunday morning and Saturday night, gospel and the blues, all in a voice and a style to make it seem like she's got the divine right to her title, the Queen of Soul.
That's a podcast bonus from the New Yorker Radio Hour, a co-production of WNYC Studios and the New Yorker. You can find David Remnick's 2016 essay about Aretha Franklin, called Soul Survivor, at newyorker.com.